The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
It's time now for Tech Thursday with Andy O'Donoghue. And of course, we're getting close to back to college time. A lot of people will be looking for gadgets. And we'll get to those in a second, but I want to actually start with AI tools, because I suspect that for many students, a subscription to some form of AI monthly is going to be part of their bill now.
I think not only is it likely to be, Matt, but you know, increasingly, it probably really needs to be. It's almost as important as a textbook in a sense, and I know people will hate me saying that, but we are living in a world where everybody is beginning to use AI in some form, students particularly. It is so useful in industry, so useful at work, but it is also AI chatbots, generative AI is incredibly useful for schoolwork and for college work. And it's not about scamming your lecturer or plagiarizing something and rewriting it. It is about using AI tools to help you with your work.
Okay, which ones are there and how much do they cost?
The two that are most appropriate in this part of the world, or for kind of mainstream education, are ChatGPT and Google's Gemini. However, they're free, but if you subscribe to ChatGPT Plus or Gemini Advanced, one is $20 a month. ChatGPT, which works out about 18-80 euros. Gemini Advanced is 22 euros a month. You get much more functionality, you get the better models, you get the newer features.
What's the difference?
It's difficult to say what the difference is. Both of them are very good, but they're good in different ways and at different things. For instance, since the launch of ChatGPT 5, many people have been complaining about the speed of ChatGPT. It gets a little bit clogged up, but it also has, it writes a lot of stuff better than the others do. Whereas Gemini Advanced, because it's a Google service, you kind of have access to that kind of, that in a sense, the Google search ecosystem, and it is also wickedly fast. It's wonderfully fast. There are others like Claude, and which could be used if you have, if you're a computer science student. And the reason these are really useful is that, in a sense, you can have them act like a personal research assistant. So they can help you outline an essay, summarize academic papers, or even brainstorm project ideas. And, you know, you think, well, what can I actually get it to do? But you might have to, you know, the in a thesis, you have your references section, you have your table of contents, summaries, things like that. You can have, you can literally just ask ChatGPT to give you the top 50 Harvard references to papers, and it will do that almost instantly. You can get it to label your diagrams for you so you don't make a mistake in your numbering and your tables and things like that. It's incredibly useful for project and thesis preparation, not for writing them, but to help you like a research assistant.
How are the colleges then going to monitor your use of AI?
Really interesting point. And initially, there was a little bit of confusion about what they would do. In for a while, this kind of went on, and it was kind of unspoken for a while. However, everybody has a policy about it now. And today, I checked the UCD policy and also Trinity's policy. And, you know, they're very straightforward. The UCD one online, it says the UCD student plagiarism policy defines plagiarism as the inclusion in any form of assessment of material without due acknowledgement of its original source. So that means if you are permitted to use generative AI in your assessment in a module, and you will be told if you can, you just need to explicitly acknowledge its use. And I spoke to a student who had worked on a project, and he told me that's exactly what he did last year. You acknowledge the use of AI, and there you go.
Listener says, ChatGPT now has Agent, which will actually do tasks for you and not just give you back responses to questions.
It has a new agent mode, and they are brilliant. They're not as good as we thought they would be yet, but it does have these agent modes, which sort of, they at the moment, they're a little bit like the old Amazon Mechanical Turk, but they will go off and do tasks for you, and that works very well. However, the thing that ChatGPT is just brilliant at is drop a PDF into it, give me a summary in 300 words or less, and off you go.
Okay. Are you using it much?
All the time.
I'm still skeptical.
You're skeptical about the hallucinations.
Yeah.
And the hallucinations, I agree, they are a problem. However, when you ask it to do a very specific task and you give it a paper, it does that really well. But if you get it involved in any kind of opinion or creativity, that's where the real danger of hallucination occurs.
Okay, well, obviously it's your own opinion, your own creativity should be on display in whatever you're doing. But I just had too many experiences of testing it and trying it and getting wrong answers. Mm. And at least I know the wrong answers. I can imagine many people would actually think they're the correct answers. And if those correct answers then get uploaded again, yeah, or incorrect answers as correct, then you get in sort of a destructive loop.
You do. And I went through that with one of the, it was Gemini at the time, and I got it to work on an Excel sheet for me, and it kept telling me it had completed it, it had done the work, it had finished, and it was in my G drive. It wasn't. And I gave it lots of options to help me find out where the file was. It didn't. And eventually, it confessed that it had failed, and it had lied to me, essentially. So that's a danger. But for the things I outlined... and also, don't forget, you know, robots aren't going to steal our jobs anytime soon. But for the things I outlined, they are incredibly useful.
Let's go to hardware. I suppose everyone who goes to college needs a laptop, don't they? A lot of people will go for the Apple MacBook Air. Is it worth it?
Yeah, it is worth it. It is the laptop of choice. And Apple make the MacBook Pros. But the MacBook Air, the new version from this year has the M4, Apple's new chip in it. It is the latest one, and it is a powerhouse for students. And they also do special education pricing for university students. So the price that you'll pay for this is €1,119, and that is the that's the entry level one, the 13-inch model with the M4 chip, 10 cores of CPU, 16 core neural engine. Basically, that means it runs really fast, really good at multitasking. But the thing about it, Matt, is for college life, it is up to 18 hours of battery life. So you'll get classes out of it, you'll get some work in the evening out of it, and you can plug in two external displays. Yes, it's expensive, but the great thing about the MacBook Air is that you will be able to use that. You will get 5 good years, perhaps 7 out of it.
Okay. You can go more expensive, though, can't you, with a Dell Windows laptop?
And if you have a preference for Windows, yeah, the Dell XPS 14 is a really good, really premium Windows laptop, really nice, sleek design, and it actually has an exceptional display. So it's got Intel Core Ultra processors, 64 gigs of RAM, 4 terabyte flash drive. So that's all the room you're ever going to need. And it also has a very compact form factor. So it's really easy to put into your backpack. For college students, if you're a Mac person, Mac OS, MacBook Air, if Windows, the best I've seen for a while is certainly the Dell XPS.
Okay, but if you want maybe to have something lighter to carry around, what about getting a tablet and then putting a Bluetooth keyboard onto the tablet, both to provide a protective shell, but also to allow you to use it as if it's a laptop?
And they work really well. And so whether you buy an Android tablet, Samsung or Acer or anybody else, or you buy an iPad, Bluetooth keyboard can transform, because tablets are so good now that you can transform them into a pretty good computer. You will pay about 40 to 100 euros for one of these Bluetooth keyboards. But what's great about them is they connect wirelessly via Bluetooth. They're lightweight. Sometimes they're foldable. They have a built-in rechargeable battery, which is great. If you look at the Belkin ones, they're really well priced. My favorite are the Logitech ones, because you can do clever stuff with the Logitech ones. For instance, you can have it connected to your tablet, but if you've got Bluetooth on your TV, it will also control the TV. So you can just type your searches or whatever into the TV. So a Bluetooth keyboard is a good investment.
Okay. Why would you bother getting a 5G mobile broadband hotspot? Can't you pick up Wi-Fi nearly anywhere? Or else, if you can't get it onto your laptop, just use the hotspot on your phone.
Yes, all possible. However, it's likely that you will have, college students will likely have some kind of data limit on their phone. Also, beware, yes, you can get Wi-Fi lots of places, but be very cautious about using public Wi-Fi for fear of essentially security threats. So the hotspot is a really good idea, because if you're sharing a house and you say, okay, well, we're not going to connect broadband, so let's buy a hotspot and we'll split the costs alternate months or quarters or whatever. And you have a future choices. You can go to Vodafone or Three or Air, some of the other providers. I know Air's 5G over 12 months is about €40 a month. If you want the 5G connectivity, 4G is still about 20% cheaper, and you can do pay-as-you-go, or you can get a fixed-term contract. The great thing about them, Matt, is that they will power multiple devices. So if you're in a house, everyone's got a laptop, a phone, etc., or even streaming or TV, it's a really good way to get Wi-Fi into the house in a really easy way that you can then bring home while you're on holiday.
Okay. Do students need portable monitors?
This is an interesting one, because I was looking for a portable monitor for a long time, and I find them really useful. Because if you have a tablet, or if you have a 13-inch laptop, a lightweight, slim external monitor gives you a second screen for improved productivity. So if you are doing something where you need to have two papers open, or a book, and an exam, or whatever you're doing, the second monitor is really useful. You'll find really good ones. Arzopa make a really nice kind of budget brand, and then you have more expensive ones from Asus. They connect via USB or HDMI preferably, and you'll get them in 15 to 7-inch size, and they get their power from the laptop. And they're really good if you're presenting or you're doing a project together, you're doing something at college, that you can use them for presentations. Or if you do happen to be doing a creative subject, fantastic for video editing or for drawing, etc.
Okay, and one final one. I suspect everybody has got some sort of service that they're on the cloud for backing up all their documents and photos and everything like that. Do you really need an external hard drive?
I like the idea of having control over my own data. Many people, of course, will use G Drive, Dropbox, or other services. However, your information is in the cloud. You do have to share it. If it's really important, you know, lose your password. Oh, I encrypted it and I forgot the decryption password. Oh, and all that stuff. Of course it can happen. However, get yourself a portable SSD, and they are not expensive. 100 to €150. The Crucial XT10 Pro is a terabyte, which is what some of the services give you. Read and write speeds are really fast. It's compact, durable design, USB-C, USB-A, shock and vibration resistant. So you keep your data on it, you get through the year, you bring it home, and you work on your big projects, whatever you're doing.
Andy O'Donoghue, thank you for joining us for Tech Thursday. A listener says, I'm a small business. I use ChatGPT at least 15 times today. Everything from Excel formulas to generating reports and marketing emails.
The Last Word on Today FM.